Welcome back to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. Today we're talking about airway health, the importance of the airway and breathing to overall health. There is an entire movement underway in medicine. It's an integrative approach to wellness that transcends professional boundaries. It's a collaboration of dentists, ENT doctors, sleep specialists, and people involved in treating childhood ADD and ADHD. They're becoming aware of the importance of the airway. And the way into the airway, well, adults with sleep apnea can use CPAP devices to open up their airways, but there's a lot more than just CPAP to this. And to talk to us about this is today's guest, Dr. Howard Hinden, who's a pioneer in this field. He is a dentist. He also has developed a unique methodology for testing patients for different types of autonomic nervous system imbalances that are caused by malocclusion, by improper jaw positioning, and he corrects these in his office using a remarkable innovative technology. So tell us a little bit about, you know, a typical patient that might come to see you and how that might be handled.
Okay, so first let me say that probably 50% of patients in any practice, and certainly in a dental practice, routine practice, have some sort of an airway problem. And the biggest number one concern we have is that we would like all practitioners to be able to open up that conversation and talk to patients about that.
So in other words, if you're taking like a history, you know, you talk to patients, you know, do you drink caffeine, do you drink alcohol, you know, sexual history, stress history, occupational exposure, you have toxins in your house, and oh, by the way, let's focus on your airway. That's going to be a part of a holistic workup.
So let me just give you an idea from a dental perspective. Somebody comes into our office, a routine patient, just coming in for a routine exam. Things you might notice is, number one, is the tongue scalloped? Does the tongue have these little indentations around the side?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of explanations. Chinese medicine has certain explanations. But what it really is our tongue is the anterior front wall of our airway. And if our tongue, there's not enough room for our tongue in our mouth, and it goes back, which it does at night, it will begin to restrict or make the airway smaller. So what our physiology, our autonomic nervous system does, it contracts those muscles with enough force and continuity that actually makes the impression of our teeth on our tongue.
So it's like a tongue thrusting forward against the...
If you think about when our mouth is closed, the teeth are the corral where our tongue lives. And if that corral isn't big enough, the only place our tongue can comfortably go is back.
Okay.
If it goes back, it will restrict the airway. So there's this constant pushing the tongue forward. And that's what happens when, number one, the arches haven't developed properly, where the growth is towards a long face instead of a wide horizontal growth. So think about what happens when people become a mouth breather. They have a high vaulted palate. The palate is growing at the expense of the nasal cavity because the brain says, hey, I'm not breathing through my nose well anyway. I don't need it, so we'll take up some of that space and try to make a wider mouth or longer mouth, but that's not a very efficient way of breathing. The other thing we look for is, we look at the lingual frenum. The lingual frenum is that little tab that connects the underside of your tongue to the floor of your mouth. If it's too tight, then even from childhood, from infancy, a child can't nurse properly because
That's the so-called tongue-tied.
Tongue-tied, or now they use the term tethered tongue. Because what happens when a child nurses, it doesn't really suck the milk from the breast. What he does is the tongue presses up against the nipple, against the palate, and it expresses the milk that way. And with a restricted tongue, you can't get your tongue into that position. You don't nurse well. And it's that pressure of the tongue constantly up against the roof of the mouth that creates these nice rounded arches, which, if you remember the work of Weston Price.
Yeah, I was going to say, Weston Price is, you know, he identified that one of the features of, modern life was that people had changes in their dental arches, that they had malformation of their faces, narrow faces, and that affects breathing, right?
That affects breathing. So, again, now we're getting back to the whole, which we call connecting the dots, that, yes, you want to develop a better arch, and you want to look at the lingual frenums, and you want to look if somebody's a mouth breather, but we actually start children on orthodontic treatment. My daughter-in-law, Jill Meyer, does a particular type of orthodontics called orthotrophics, where you don't really care about where the teeth lined up. You want to develop the face. So if you do some expansion, you can actually change the direction of growth, which is really fantastic.
Hmm.
But you can't do that unless the nutrition is good.
Right. Nutrition is a factor. In other words, if you go to a Western diet of highly refined foods and you get away from what is called a traditional diet, you know, we know the Western A. Price Foundation talks a lot about the importance of animal protein and fresh foods and unrefined foods, that this actually changes the way that your face and your dental arch develops.
And so if you want to help children be healthier, it's really a combination of taking what dentistry is now looking at and what integrative medicine is looking at it and putting it together. But to get back to the exam, so we look at the tongue, we look at the lingual frenum, we look at the arch, you looked at the overbite. You can have people put their lips together and see if they can breathe well through each side of their nose, because maybe the airway problem is not a mouth breathing, how you breathe through your mouth. It could be poor development of the nose, a deviated septum. But it takes about a minute to do a screening like that, and looking at that. You can ask somebody, do you snore? And most people, and men snore more than women, most men will say, my wife says I snore.
Right.
Because sleep is a very unusual thing. Sleep is the only really selfish thing we do. It's the only thing that we can only do by ourselves. We can do anything else with somebody else. We can only sleep by ourselves. And when we're sleeping, we really don't know what's going on. People say, I don't sleep all night, but they go to a sleep lab and they sleep for 7 hours. But for what happens is they're sleeping and they're not conscious. They think they're awake, but they have these arousals all night. They keep they never go into the good state of sleep. So you do the screening. And so if I'm a dentist, I'll say, well, I really want to get an ENT consult, or I want to have somebody look at the frenum, or if somebody's a mouth breather, do they need behavioral muscle modification, which they call myofunctional therapy? And I want to
what does that entail? What would that be like?
Myofunctional therapy is when some people just have a habit. They learn to be a tongue thruster.
Mm-hmm.
They don't put their tongue in the right position. So when in the past, traditionally, when children have had orthodontic treatment and they have a tongue habit, the tongue is pressing against the teeth thousands of times a day. And once the braces are finished, if you haven't corrected the tongue habit, everything is going to go back. The crowding will go back. A poor oral posture of the muscles is one of the biggest causes of failure of orthodontic treatment and dental treatment, because dentists have tended to, we went through this period after World War II where dentists became repair people. They looked at teeth, and they looked at gums. They didn't look about how our teeth and our jaws and our muscles of our face are all connected.
I think they're more focusing on a cosmetic result. I mean, I think that's the main reason why people do this is because it's not because they have these concern over these profound implications of tooth malalignment or jaw malalignment. They mostly want to look good.
And what happens when you when a parent takes a child to a dentist, orthodontist, they show you these beautiful models on, but they're not connected to a face. They're not connected to muscles. They're not. There's no tongue.
Mm-hmm.
So you're looking at the teeth. You're not looking at the other things. So
right.
What we concentrate with orthotrophic orthodontics is the growth of the face. How can we get the face that's not developing properly to grow? And so we bring out everything. Kids who might have the appearance of buck teeth, it's those front teeth that are in the right place. Everything else is in the wrong place. So you bring the jaw forward to align with that, and the changes in the face are incredibly remarkable. And so you start the kids at three where the bone is pliable and the kids can behave, and the face has changed. It's wonderful. As the face has changed, chronic ear problems go away. Learning, kids do better in school. Their behavior changes. They become calmer. Why? Because they're not putting so much effort into breathing. The other thing that I want to get to mention is there was a study recently done by this woman, Niedergaard, at the University of Rochester, which was about why we need to sleep. And what she discovered is a period of time when we sleep, and we're sleeping well with good oxygenation, that our brain actually shrinks, and there's an increase of cerebral spinal fluid into the brain that actually cleans out the toxins.
Mm-hmm. It's like a brain rinse.
It's a brain rinse because the brain doesn't have a lymphatic system. So basically what it does, and it actually cleans out the amyloid product. So actually the study was done on rats, but hopefully that as they do further studies, they will show that it really affects people, humans, the same way. And other studies have shown that levels of amyloid, beta amyloid, go up during the day and go down during the night. So this has profound implications, because it may be that 20, 30 years before somebody develops signs of Alzheimer's or dementia, having poor sleep might be one of the precursors to that, along with,
wow.
We have poor nutrition, environmental toxins, and poor sleep. Those are three things that we can change in our society that could really change the health of our population.
So we're not just talking about discomfort. We're talking about profound implications of sleep problems.
Absolutely, because we call it the hidden problem, because the problem does not get expressed as a sleep or a breathing problem, because we will always do what we need to do to breathe. It gets expressed as cardiovascular problems, type 2 diabetes, anxiety, depression, GI problems like GERD, or even cancer is linked to that, because what you're doing, it's altering the inflammatory process. There's going to be more inflammatory markers and substances floating around our bloodstream. And as you know, so many of the diseases now are linked to chronic inflammation.
So what you're saying, in essence, is that this is not just some esoteric thing where, occasionally people have overt sleep apnea and it's documented in a sleep lab and they need treatment, or, occasionally a kid will have a lot of trouble breathing, so they take out their tonsils and adenoids. You're saying that this is such an integral issue it's part of the pathway towards a multitude of health problems, and it needs to be a consideration.
Right, and what happens today is that a lot of practitioners will say, let's watch it, it won't be so bad, snoring is a quality of life issue, it's not so much a health problem. Absolutely wrong.
Oh.
Because if you're not sleeping and you're not breathing, you are leaving yourself open and you're increasing your risk for a whole variety of problems that you wouldn't otherwise have. And so what we've tried to do is we realize that the best way to make change is through the public, having the public demand it. unfortunately.
So that's today's intelligent medicine call to action is we want to increase public awareness. So you're in the forefront of doing this, and you're launching this new initiative.
Yeah, so what we've done is we've created this non-for-profit foundation for airway health, www.foundationforairwayhealth.org is the website. And what we want to do is we want to raise some money to increase awareness, provide education, and really get early intervention. Because if you intervene early, the treatment is easier, the result is better, and it's less expensive. The biggest problem, if you're trying to correct a problem with orthodontic treatment or other types of treatment later, it not only becomes expensive, but it disallows certain parts of our population who can't afford $8,000-$10,000 for orthodontic treatment to breathe better. And that just can't be that way. It has to be airway for all. Everybody has to have the right to better airway and better sleep so they can realize their potential. So that's what we're trying. We've created the foundation for and are trying to raise money in order to increase that awareness and develop protocols and research that will show that these protocols work and we can change children's airways so that they can have the best potential they can have in life.
So how can people get involved?
Go to the website, go to the foundation website, and make a donation to the Foundation for Airway Health. They can also go to the aapmd.org and become a public member. No charge, free. You get access to the information. You can get our newsletter that we've created called Inspire, which is gives information about airway health. And go to a directory and find practitioners who can provide that care. And I can tell you there are not even close to being enough people who can do this across the country. And what we're also trying to do is develop these pods. We're getting more dentists and physicians to work together. Which you and I have done over the years, and our patients have benefited from that.
Right, and you know the patients that I've sent to you with sometimes complex, mysterious problems have often made considerable progress when they've had this obstacle addressed. I think it's just a matter of increasing awareness and increasing acceptance for this viewpoint, because I think a lot of people don't consider this. You know, they're about, change your diet, take vitamins, exercise, take, intravenous treatments. These are, acupuncture. There are many aspects to holistic care, but I think this is an important ignored aspect of holistic care that could take people a lot further along towards wellness.
And if I have a minute, I would like to just applaud my son Jeff Hinden, who's really the creator of this software program we use for physiological monitoring. And he's involved in a research project with Weill Cornell Medical Center looking at dental plants or products for treating patients with Tourette's syndrome.
Wow.
And he's going to be part of a abstract presentation in London at the First World Congress on Tourette Syndrome and Tic Disorders, and he's one of the presenters there, and I think that's very exciting. It's been done in the past, and it's worked, but nobody's been really able to explain why it works. We think it's really all about airway. I mean, the research will eventually have to show whether that's true or not, but if you can imagine somebody put their hand over your mouth and didn't let you breathe, what would you do? You would be cursing and flailing around and doing all sorts of things. So we think that this may be beneficial. The early results seem to support that. So I'm very excited. I'm very proud and fortunate to have my son, who's really an innovator in this field, and his wife, who does this incredible type of orthodontic treatment that really changes people's lives. Well, the exciting part about dentistry is it's not about teeth. It's really changing lives, which makes a big difference.
Was your son Jeffrey the result of an early cloning experiment?
No, actually, he's really
He's on.
That's me.
Okay, no, he's. When I say go see Dr. Hinden, I say it doesn't matter whether you see the son or the dad. They both embody the best aspects of complementary care. So I just wanted you to comment on one more thing. I've got a couple more minutes. Could you comment on the recent passing of a pioneer in holistic complementary dentistry, integrative dentistry, Dr. Hal Huggins, who I know had a profound impact on you as you pursued your career?
Well, you know, he was an incredible person. Pioneers are not treated well. You have to have courage to get up and say things when nobody else will say them. And he suffered because of that. And he was probably a little bit radical in his thinking, but when I started in practice almost 50 years ago, over 90% of all dental restorations were mercury fillings, and now it's somewhere around 30%. And so things change. They change by evolution rather than revolution. And if it wasn't for Hal Huggins, we would probably would happen anyway, but it would probably be 50 years down the road. And I think he was a wonderful pioneer in not only dentistry but in healthcare. You know, he was originally, before he even got involved with mercury, he was doing balancing body chemistry, and he was the secretary to this nutrition group that had Weston Price and Melvin Page in it, and that's how he got started in all this.
That's fabulous. So in conclusion, for health professionals who may be listening, and they may want to attend this conference on sleep, March 27th through 29th here in New York City, what's up with that?
Okay, so March 27th, 29th, 2 days of great presentation from physicians, dentists, physical therapists, Mariana Roccobato, who's one of the leading physical therapists in the world, is coming from Chile. We have orthodontists, we have dentists. My son Jeff is going to talk about physiological monitoring and heart rate variability. And then on Sunday we have a day of workshops, and the goal is to bring different practitioners from different modalities together. If any of the practitioners are listening to this show and would like to attend, they can call, or they can go online, www.aapmd.org, and if they said they want to come because of the show, we can give them a special Ron Hoffman discount.
Excellent. Love it. And, last but not least, I'll be presenting on Friday, the 27th of March, on the subject of nutrition and sleep, and I'm excited about it. Thank you for inviting me. And I really didn't expect to be speaking at a sleep conference, but then when I began to research it, I found that there was just a multitude of information about the relationship between diet and sleep, and of course sleep deprivation, and how we sometimes make poor food choices and develop obesity, insulin resistance, and so on. So we're gonna touch upon
actually,
that issue.
What actually happens is we make poor food choices because lack of sleep drives us to make those choices.
Exactly. It's a two-way street. It's a really reciprocal relationship, sleep and nutrition. So, okay. Well, thank you very much for joining us. And, congratulations on your pioneering work in this area. It's extremely innovative, but timely and essential that we recognize the importance of the airway. You can get more information at www.foundationforairwayhealth.org. And if you want to know about Dr. Hinden's practice, he's located in Suffern, New York. And you've got a website as well. It's HindenCenter.com, correct?
HindenCenter.com, that's right.
Thank you very much for joining us, and I look forward to seeing you later this month. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.